You're listening to Two Guys, One Album with music insiders Michael Heidemann and Paul Farva.
We are two music experts.
I mean, experts is pushing it.
Taking on the greatest albums of all time.
It's a little subjective.
Song by song with careful analysis.
All right, I wouldn't say careful. Look, we're having fun with the songs.
Two Guys,
One Album.
Wow is right. You ready for some rock and roll, everybody? This is the latest and greatest episode of Two Guys.
One Album. Wow. That is an introduction.
We're hitting it hard this week. I'm really excited for this episode.
This is a good... You might be thinking, is that Robert Plant?
That has to be a band from the 70s that they're going to be talking about today.
And you would be completely mistaken.
Yeah, you would be very, very off.
I mean, so off.
Close. We give you a shot for trying, but no, this is the one and only band, Greta Van Fleet. They're taking over the world right now with their 70s-inspired, Paul, as you put it, blatant ripoff of the band Led Zeppelin.
From the Fires is what it's called. It should be called From the Fires of Physical Graffiti and Houses of the Holy, which are the two finest albums. But no, it's a... They are so good. They are, like, bringing rock and roll back to the forefront. And they are going to... I mean, holy shit. The first time I heard this, I was like, what is going on? Some of these songs are almost... I mean, I know it's sacrilegious to say, but... It's better than some Led Zeppelin songs.
They can't all be hits. I think you probably just alienated half of our audience by that.
I don't care.
Statement.
Listen, I have every Led Zeppelin CD in my house, and from Led Zeppelin 1 through 5 through everything. I know House of the Holy is 5, but my point is, this is an amazing album. They are so good, and they're so young. They have, like, their whole future ahead of them. They're, like, what, 16 years old?
Which makes me the most angry, I think, because you look back at what you were doing at 16.
No, they're not really 16. I was fucking with that. But I think they're, like, 20, 22 or something like that.
Let's take a look here. Yeah, it's 13 and a half.
No.
I
just had their bar mitzvah in Detroit. No, they are. They're, yeah, that's your job. I don't know anything about the details of their age, but I do know that they're super young, and the guy's voice.
Ooh, listen to him just take on that bridge right there too. So there is a lot of things going on with this band. It's actually a group of brothers. Josh and Jake are 21-year-old twins, while bassist and keyboardist Sam Kiska is their 18-year-old brother. And they used to play in cover bands when they were growing up. Grew up in biker bars, as they call it.
In Detroit, right?
Or yeah, in Detroit. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And now they're just kind of taking on this whole...
It's unbelievable.
...persona of Led Zeppelin.
I'm sure their dad has a tremendous role.
How many tattoos over under do you think he has his face?
On his neck? I'm not sure. But his dad, I just picture him, you know, working the mills and saying, I've got to do something with my kids. None of them play tennis. They can't play golf. They're going to play guitars.
And it's funny you say that, because they're from a really interesting named town, Frankenmuth. And I'm sorry for everyone from Frankenmuth, if I'm pronouncing that wrong, but that song, that this is just like the classic story of a rock and roll family. Small town upbringing. The dad works in the steel mill, I'm
is
guessing.
Is that right? We're creating this story. He's probably like a lawyer. We just made up the whole backstory.
Yeah, he's got to be something like pretty big.
Yeah, who knows?
You see a ghost?
We went through the whole song. What was the name of that first song, by the way? We didn't even talk about the song. But it was so awesome. It's a great way to start the whole album. The first song was...
Let's take a look here at what that first song was called real quick. It's the Safari song.
That was the first song?
Yes.
Such a good intro. And they don't... They tell you right away who they are. They're mm-hmm. like, listen, I know you've been waiting for Led Zeppelin to come back.
The second
John
coming.
John Bonham died. And Jimmy Page is just too old to play guitar, mm-hmm. but we've got something for you.
Robert Plant wears glasses now, yeah, and he does that camp for millionaires where yeah. they get to play with him.
He can't do what we do. So what's the second song now?
The second song is called On. There is no On, but it is The Edge of Darkness.
Edge of Darkness. This is a little different than the other feel. Now, you haven't heard this through, right?
I haven't. So I'm going into this cold as ice. And I couldn't be more excited because I've been hearing them about their Coachella appearance, about the album they
put
out.
They had with Elton John at the Oscars.
Yep, the after parties, the Rolling Stone articles. And now to hear them through and through, their first album. Dang, dude. They're really, really solid.
Yeah. I mean, this is the vocals, obviously, are Robert Plant, but the music here is—it's got a little Black Crowes feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
The crunchy guitar and the rhythm section is just holding it down.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a resurgence you can feel. I mean, obviously, it's the Led Zeppelin feel, but there's been a resurgence as far as bands like Royal Blood, who are a two-piece mm-hmm. from England. And they kind of have that gritty kind of rock sound, and it's just a bass and a drum. Right. And they're doing the same kind of thing with their heavy riffs. I mean, obviously, you can go back to bands like Wolf Mother, too, who have this similar sound, too.
Yeah.
Do you want to crank it up a little bit?
No, But what you're saying is exactly true. Wolf Mother, all those guys, but like what they're all missing is this dude's vocals.
Yes. They don't
Nobody
have...
Nobody has that. Not since Robert Plant. And it's the stylings, too. It's not even the falsetto, but it's... I mean, there was a band called Kingdom Come in the 90s who had a blatant Led Zeppelin song. They were a heavier band, mm-hmm. and people gave the guy a lot of shit for ripping off Robert Plant. But the music didn't sound like that. But these guys... They have it all. It's
now,
so exciting.
But here's another thing, Paul. Do you think that this band would be as well received if they weren't all 21 years old? If they were older? If these guys were like in their 60s?
You're right. You make a good point. They'd be like, oh, it's a Led Zeppelin cover band.
Which, Chicago has one of the premier sure. Led Zeppelin cover bands, Led Zeppelin 2,
yeah, yeah.
who play at the House of Blues all the time.
Right. But here's the thing. These guys are good songwriters, too. Mm-hmm. And these songs are adding something to it. They're making, there's almost a 90s feel to it, and then there's this blues Black Crowes-y feel in the
oh,
background.
Yeah,
I can
see that.
So it's like they're bringing something new to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like just a cover band, but I haven't been this excited about a rock band in a long time. Like, I listen to a lot of sissy rock, singer-songwriter crap. I readily admit to it, but my friends and I heard this album, and we were like, holy shit. We were all in spring training watching the Cubs, and we all went to high school together listening to Led Zeppelin, wearing our mullets and smoking pot in places. And maybe I shouldn't have said that last part. But but no, we were all Led Zeppelin fans in high school, and we were all like looking at each other like, holy shit, this is the best thing that I ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those first two songs are amazing.
They're amazing.
What's the next song?
Probably something amazing.
No, some of them I didn't like, I'll be honest. They do an Adele cover somewhere, I heard too, which was kind of weird.
Really?
Yeah.
This is called Flower Power.
This is the best song on the album.
Flower Power. I like how they start with that kind of echo chambery, definitely Led Zeppelin heavy, just drum beat that kicks right into. Yeah, this is a little bit Blind Melony.
Yeah, a little bit. You got the 12 string or the mandolin. It's just playing subtly.
Heavy, heavy reverb and echo on that voice.
I I mean, that's like the stylings is a blatant ripoff of House of the Holy, but it's their own lyrics.
Yeah, this is
pretty. I love it because it mixes something that's really been missing in rock and roll, and that's a little bit of the country flair. And country music today is, I think, the best it's ever been, because I used to be solely against country music, but now they're doing something so right in that industry. Yeah. These guys hit
country,
on with that.
Yeah, that's corporate country is really big, but these guys are, I mean, they've got soul, they've got heart, and these songs are like so passionate. It's almost like they recorded this all live.
Well, it's funny you say that. The people that helped them record this album were actually veteran record executive Jason Flom, who helped launch Paramore, Lord, Kid Rock. He snatched them up and put them on a new record deal here, and he was able to kind of push them
Jason
in this
Flom
direction.
Is a great producer, yeah. I mean, God. This song just makes you happy.
Paul is having the time of his life listening to this album right now, everybody.
It just makes you happy, this song, Flower Power. I've listened to this song. You know, I bought this album a couple weeks ago because we were supposed to review them a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I've been listening to it nonstop. It's so good. And I listened.
Sorry
to
that Cardi B needed to take
Cardi
their place
B
for
took
that week
the spot, but which was good too. But this is like they are bringing rock and roll back. Listen to this.
Now, where do you find a band of 17 and 18-year-olds? That's the real question. Are they playing at the high school dances?
I don't know. Their dad probably hooked them up with some gigs, or Kid Rock did. Maybe they're opening for Kid Rock.
That could be. It's always interesting, that kind of progression of music. Oh,
I mean, listen to this. It just starts belting it out in the middle of the song.
Just imagine him playing this at his prom. Probably make everyone go crazy.
How the fuck did these guys get so good? I mean, it's insane how tight they are. I mean, they must have been playing. First of all, they couldn't be playing for years because they weren't even, you know, unless they started when they were like 13 or 14.
Mm-hmm. So, no, not surprising, the band's earliest gigs actually were focused heavy on Cream covers, Eric Clapton. They played the occasional Bad Company tune. A lot of B.B. King, Albert King, Freddie King, and then, you know, a little dabbling the Buddy Guy. So the parents of these children, not children, these rock and roll soon-to-be legends. They are children.
They're playing Lollapalooza, by the way.
That's
Friday of Lollapalooza, and it's going to be amazing.
You know what? I think that they're going to be the sleeper hit of Lollapalooza.
I don't think anyone's going to sleep on them. I mean, that's the one. I've never been looking forward to see a band at Lollapalooza in a long time. But that song, Flower Power, is clearly the best song on the album. The problem is, it's so long that I don't know if radio's going to cooperate, but what do we got next?
That song, it's
the first three,
pushing 5 minutes. Flower Power.
Yeah.
This next one is called A Change Is Going to Come. I was born by the river. Yes, I like it already. Trying to figure out if this is a cover or not. Please write us in if this is.
I love this song.
You said they did do a cover of.
They do.
And you are exactly right. This is a cover. I just got the email in from one of our favorite listeners. It's an ill-conceived version of Sam Cooke's A Change Is Gonna Come. Thank you, listeners, for texting us in.
I was like, wait a minute. This is a cover, But they did their own. They clearly put their own signature on it, and it's an awesome song. And the vocals again, just right up front and
amazing. It's a good time for rock and roll. I like this. And Sam, you know what? Can we just talk about how awesome Sam Cooke is?
He's good.
Was there a time?
he's good.
He's good. One of the greatest songwriters of all time. You can't turn on a Sam Cooke song and not be smiling ear to ear. Just ask Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah.
Do you know where the name came from,
Paul? It was a girl's name in their town, right?
Greta Van Fleet?
Mm-hmm. I read the article.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I read the article. I did my research.
Named after a local woman named Gretna Van Fleet.
Yeah. As opposed to Greta Van Susteren, Fox News commentator.
Yes. Cute-looking lady. Yeah. Very smart, very intelligent, probably much like Gretna Van Fleet.
I would love to meet Gretna. I'm sure she's happy. You know, it's funny. I was in a band that was named after a person, too, named Go Tom. I just wanted to throw that out, my cover band.
That's right.
From 2000.
And his name was Go Tom, right?
Go Tom. Yeah. We were worried that he was going to beat us up, but it's all good.
Did he? You sound like a little scared.
I mean, he still might be after me. He's probably a big guy right now, but I think he's a doctor. He's doing well.
All right, this next one is called Highway Tune. Oh, you can hear that bluesy guitar. Yeah.
So Led Zeppelin took it from us, and they brought it back to him.
Oh, I cannot wait to see them in concert. I can tell. This would be a good one to come out to.
I mean, they're selling out everywhere right now. And it's funny. A comedian told me about them a while ago, and I was like, yeah, whatever. And I heard a couple of songs. I think I heard this song first. And it's not the song that you would want to start to listen to them to, because you don't really hear them. I mean, you hear a little Robert Plant, but like... It's more rocky and bluesy, and you have to be familiar with their music before. But like here, it's like, listen, I mean, this is,
you know, it sounds
a Led Zeppelin song.
It's a Led Zeppelin song. It sounds a little bit more Appetite for Destruction than Zeppelin.
There's a little Guns N' Roses feel to it. But people said the same thing about Guns N' Roses in the 80s, that they were heavily influenced by Led Zeppelin. But they took it in a whole different direction.
Yeah. I guess, Led Zeppelin, that band is just, they rule. They rule. Jimmy Page, he wrote some of the greatest guitar solos of all time. I mean, Immigrant Song to, blanking on most of the songs right now. The Ocean, I can't get enough of that. In fact, you know what, let's just take the time to just turn on some Led Zeppelin right now.
No, that song's cool too. I liked it a lot, but the first three songs on this album were so amazing that it's like hard to meet up with for the rest of the EP. I mean, it's not even a full length album, so we can't even call it an album.
Yeah, it's two guys, one EP.
One EP. Mm-hmm. For this one, we'll make a thing. What's next on the agenda?
Next on the agenda is the song called Meet Me on the Ledge. You know, the guys like to keep it real, though. It says here on this article on RollingStone.com that they take a little swig of Jack Daniels every night, too, which I can definitely appreciate. They call it a rock and roll ritual. And you know what, Paul? Do you find that there's a lot more musicians today who are kind of straying away from the Jack Daniels and coke and heroin and all those?
They should be embracing all of them if it creates this amazing music.
That is a good point to bring up.
I think pot is ruining rock and roll.
Pot makes you very lazy. But I'm finding a lot more bands are trying to keep
the
their longevity.
You know.
They're doing the yoga. They're doing the kimchi shots, wheatgrass. You need some Jack Daniels every once in a while.
Yeah. That's what I did when I was in my 20s. No, I didn't do Jack.
The Paul Farvar drink of choice when he was rocking?
I was drinking Captain Morgan's and Diet Cokes. Or no, back then it wasn't Diet. It was Captain Morgan's and Coke.
Oh, man. And extra calories.
Yeah, I was a thin kid back then. But this...
That's a good one.
These guys can get away. They're all skinny, and they can drink Jack Daniels and have six or seven donuts if they want. Or burgers. Probably burgers is more rock and roll than donuts.
Maybe McGriddle?
Yeah, they probably eat a shit ton of McGriddle.
Those are so good. I remember... Well, I haven't had one in about 10 years, but I remember them being really tasty. I was more of a Chalupa and a Crunchwrap Supreme guy myself. I was thinking about, you know, playing music... And the drink of choice that I used to go for. And I used to play in a band here in Chicago called Heart of the Fox. And we used to play at all the open mic spots. But we hosted an open mic, too, at a local biker bar, which is now defunct. It was called The Lucky Number. And we knew the bartenders so well that they would give us free drinks and keep them coming. I mean,
that's why they shut down.
Yeah, oh, yeah, probably. The bar didn't make a lot of money, but we would drink them dry. We probably drank about at least $150 worth of drinks. It was me and my girlfriend at the time. And I remember we would drink these Long Island iced teas that they would make, and we would just
that's
get...
That's not a rock star drink.
Oh, these... It was basically strong, turpentine that we would suck down.
There's a lot of alcohol in those.
And we would just drink those until from 9 p.m. until 2 a.m. when the open mic ended. And by the end of it, we couldn't even, like... I would record these videos, and you can see the slow progression.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know
watching
how...
Watching yourself getting drunk.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty bad. And we were just doing, like, covers.
If you did... If you only took a swig like these guys did, imagine what could have happened instead of getting drunk.
Oh, man.
You could have been the next Led Zeppelin.
I could have been Michael Van Fleet.
Michael Van Fleet.
I'm sure... I don't know if I would have been the next Led Zeppelin. I was... Back then, I was focusing more on... like Kanye West acoustic covers.
Oh boy.
And some Jason Mraz. Some
dear.
Adam Duritz.
Those my Jason Mraz days. I've got so many stories about him.
Let's kick into the next one.
Yeah, what was the next song? See, you've got the... Usually I have the list in front of me, but you have everything this time. I don't even have my phone.
I do. We'll edit these parts.
That's all right.
It's called Talk on the Street.
Oh, this is a good song. Listen to it. It's a little different than the other ones. A little faster.
You can tell the impersonation he's doing when he's hitting this.
I like how the songs all resolve really quickly, like in, like here, it comes up right here.
This is a little Janis Joplin feel, too.
Yeah.
They're really encompassing this 60s, 70s vibe.
And the hook comes. Yeah. I mean, the crunchy guitars, man, like, how did you...
That
is so premeditated that they just, you know, made the 70s sound. And I know, you know, you mentioned Wolf Mother, all those bands, so good, so solid, and they create the sound. Even the White Stripes, you know, they were getting a lot of flack for imitating a lot of 70s stuff. But these guys, man, I have not heard anything this... like revitalization of the 70s music in a long, long time.
Well, you're exactly right, Paul. The way that they get this sound, I'm looking at a few of their photos, it's all Marshall half stacks plugged into pedals that I'm sure that just get this great fuzz tone that you can hear in the back. And they're all these enormous Marshall half stacks. I'm looking at a few Fender amps too, which makes that... I mean, that is Led Zeppelin.
Right.
Is a big, fat Marshall half-stack tube amp that is staring you in the face and just rocking out. And it looks like they're playing Gibsons, Les Pauls.
Are you serious?
Yeah, one behind his back. And then the bass looks like a Fender bass. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what John Paul Jones used, but you can message us at twoguysonealbum@gmail.com if you are a Led Zeppelin fan offended by our version. But this song, again, I mean, it's not just Led Zeppelin. It's like you said, Janis Joplin. There's so many influences here, and it's so... And they bring something to the table. It's not just a... It is a blatant ripoff, but they also take it to the next level.
Ripoff isn't always bad.
Yeah. It sounds like their influences, and you know... it's just the way it is. And it's not this guy's fault that he heard Robert Plant's voice and mimics it perfectly.
Exactly, exactly. So what, are we supposed to not like Bruno Mars because he sounds a little bit like Michael Jackson?
And Prince, yeah.
And Prince. I mean, that's just the way
it is. That's true. You make a very good point.
You can't always, you know, the best and most creative kind of people often take something that's already there and make it better.
Yeah, it's a in the legal term of copyrights, it's taking a derivative work. And what they've done is taken a derivative of this, added a whole bunch of cool shit to it. It's like everyone likes a donut. or an apple pie. But some people like put extra cinnamon on it in their, you know, Led Zeppelin was an apple pie with some ice cream on top. These guys took the ice cream instead of vanilla, they added cinnamon. And they're like, holy shit, cinnamon ice cream? They didn't have cinnamon ice cream in the 70s. In the 70s, there was only vanilla and chocolate.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's accurate, but maybe strawberry. Right. I mean, they didn't have cookies and cream.
They had maybe some Hershey syrup.
Yeah.
And that was the most they could do.
You can get three flavors. It was strawberry, vanilla, and chocolate. These guys took that ice cream on the apple pie, and they added cinnamon, and they added like the fudge and the caramel that was like whatever, the kind that hardens on top. I don't know what that's called.
Paul, are you only mentioning these things because we're really around the time of that you usually get
my dessert break? Yes, yes, yes. You are correct.
You're making me really hungry. You're going really into it.
I know. I'm sorry.
You know what we should do? We should make another podcast called Two Guys, One Sandwich. And we should just like debate on sandwiches.
Yeah. What's the best sandwich?
Two Guys, One Donut. Yeah.
Is Portillo's a sandwich? What was that song called again? Everyone Knows.
Take on the Street.
Take. Oop. No, that's not right.
Talk on the Street.
Talk on the Street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Talk.
What's next on the agenda?
You're not going to believe this. This song is called Cinnamon Donut.
Oh my God! How perfect would that be?
Black Smoke Rising.
Oh, this song is really cool. It's another one of those songs where when they resolve, it's amazing. It's coming up 30 seconds up top. There's a bridge. And here it comes. It's like the heavens open when you start singing.
Wow. That sounds... His voice carries this whole band because I'm going to shit on this band for 2 seconds.
Go ahead.
I'm listening to this guitar part and it sucks. The guitar part, it doesn't sound as full as I want it to sound, but holy smokes, when you kick in that bass on top of this drum beat and then his voice just adding more treble and bass than the guitar. Like, listen to the guitar right now.
Yeah. It's not full. You're right. It's just one guitar.
It sounds a little bit wonky, but the thing is, it gives it that gritty, great 70s rock vibe. But man, you were exactly right. His voice is doing everything for this song.
I just love the resolve on the song going into the bridge, the chorus, pre-chorus. It's just so, you know, it's predictable, but it's so good. Like, simple, but man, and the layers on the vocals.
It's like biting into a sweet old donut. Selling out arenas, spaces, halls, everywhere in the entire nation. Greta Van Fleet is just taking over.
Is that the last song?
No. That was the last song.
No, I don't want it to end.
We can play it over again if you want me to.
Wow. Those 8 songs we went through? They had 8 songs? Wow. That really went by super quick. I mean... This is one of the song. This album. So here's the thing. It's new to me right now, so it's hard to know if it's going to have the longevity. Because you know, when Maroon 5's debut album came out, I was like, this is going to be the greatest thing in the world. And
good
now
point.
I'm like, I can't listen to one fucking song.
No,
album.
It's shit.
So does it have longevity? I don't know, but I think they do. I think it's going to be one of those classic albums that one day we're going to go back and say, I hope these guys have a long career, and I hope they keep their nose clean and they get their shit together and record another album, because this is something that could change, revolutionize the rock and roll scene. And I'm really excited about them, and I'm really excited to see them in live. I hope they have an after party show too, one of those special parties, because I'm going to go and see them in an intimate room.
You're going to go and hang out with some cool 21-year-olds, Paul.
You know, I did a podcast from my other podcast, Singles Only, with Paul Walter Hauser, who was in the movie I, Tanya, and mm-hmm. he got to see them play with Elton John, and I was so
damn
jealous. Yeah, I mean, that's some fucking... That's some rock star.
What do you
status.
Think? What do you think their second album will sound like? How can they get better than
I don't know
doing this?
You can only go down. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. They're so good. This is one of the greatest albums of 2018, I'm gonna rate it. My review for this is I'm gonna give this 8.
You gotta describe. You gotta say it for our listeners see what the process
for
is.
For those of you who don't know, our process is the most you can give this for ratings is 11 likes. And that's because on social media, that's when you can no longer see the names. It just shows 11 as your number.
Mm-hmm.
If we did this on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
which Facebook might be obsolete by this summer. We don't even know.
Don't you go against the Zuck.
Anyway, so that's the most you can give it. And then obviously there's emojis and stuff like that. I am going to give this album.
Wait one second, Paul. Let me get you something.
Eight and a half likes. The hang loose, the devil sign emoji.
Okay.
And the two fire signs.
Ooh.
That's
pure rock and roll.
That's pure rock.
That's the most rock heavy rating you've ever given on this
podcast. It's
the most
rock heavy album we've. Well, I think
you've rarely gone above 7.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Appetite for Destruction with Guns N' Roses, that was a rock heavy one. I don't think I gave them the devil sign, although I probably should have.
You gave Adam Duritz and Counting Crows an 11.
Yeah, that's Counting Crows. That's an amazing album. But this brings out this remind. I mean this. Brings out my youth. I mean, shit. Like this reminds me of listening to Led Zeppelin in all through high school. That's what we listened to: Led Zeppelin, The Who. Those were the rock.
Did you go to high school in the '70s?
No, unfortunately, I didn't. I feel like I did, but that's what we listened to. No, everybody listened to Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, I remember listening to them on the Pace bus. As I would take the bus to Marion Central in Woodstock, Illinois, and I'd put on the skip protector because I just wanted to keep that rock going. Yeah. It'd be so good.
Or just put it on random shuffle. You don't know what's going
to
play.
You never know. And this is when I would need to go through the library to get my Led Zeppelin albums too.
Oh no!
Do people even do that anymore?
No.
Such a dork.
I bought every Led Zeppelin album. My freshman year in high school, because my friend Colby Payne, who's still one of my best friends,
mm-hmm.
he introduced me to Led Zeppelin. I think it was him. I don't know. My brother.
His name is Colby Payne.
Colby
Payne.
Yeah,
that's
shout
a
out
kick-ass
to
name. Yeah. That'd be a good name for a band.
That's true.
Greta Van Fleet.
He plays bass in a band. Too.
Opening up for Colby Payne.
That should be. That would be. So what's your review? You didn't really get a chance to really listen to it, so I don't know if that's fair.
I thought
you listened to it before.
I've heard some songs. Like I knew what the feel of the album was going to be like because I heard the little bits and pieces there, and it was a good snackable, bite-sized bit of the album that we just heard on the podcast. But I think that I'm going to give it. 6 likes.
Wow.
6 likes. I'm staying
that's low
steady.
For you.
Well, I want to be able to like their second album even more, or when they do come out with the full length album, I want to be able to.
Oh, that's right. You're penalizing them for not being a full length album.
Yes. Sorry, Greta Van Fleet.
Okay.
I'm giving you a lower score than I would want, but I'm going to give them the 6 likes. Very well deserved.
Right.
I'll give them a flame too. And then, of course, the tasty donut emoji. Because this was a tasty cinnamon donut, if I do say so myself.
There's no cinnamon donut emoji. There should be.
There should be. What, are we putting, you can't come up with your own emoji anymore?
No, they got to be real things. You can't just make up emojis on this show. We're an accurate show.
Anything but accurate.
We are nothing if we're not accurate. Get it right, Michael.
Hold on.
That's a low.
That was my own.
That's a low rating for you, but you're entitled to your opinions. I feel maybe if there were some skits, you probably would have liked it better.
maybe
they acted out some Kanye skits.
Could you, if they did like some 1970s like Sanford and Son skits, or like maybe like a Happy Days, throw it in there.
That's true.
That'd be nice.
Very Led Zeppelin-esque, because Led Zeppelin had a lot of skits.
That would be a funny skit to do, like a Happy Days album on like just the 70s rock.
Well, Weezer did a commercial, or they did a video.
Yeah, directed by Spike Jones.
Yeah.
One of his like main, the first things that really put him on the map.
Yeah.
Well, six. I mean, you know, I'm gonna give that Weezer music video 7 donuts.
you're gonna go get a donut.
You made me hungry, man.
Good. That's what we're doing. We need to get a donut sponsor. What?
Yes.
Well, that you guys, if you have a album that changed your life or that you think we should review, we're getting a lot of requests. Mm-hmm. and we appreciate it, so keep them coming. Two Guys One Album @gmail.com, or you can find me on the internets, which is on Facebook. It's Facebook.com/Paul F. Comedy. You can reach me there, or on Twitter, Paul Farivar, and Instagram, Paul Farivar as well.
I'm gonna like all your shit, Paul.
Yeah, please do.
You can find me, Mike Heidemann, at MikeHeidemann.com, MichaelHeidemann.com, and you can search Sound Sessions, which is my other music podcast, but you should listen to this one. This is kind of like the umbrella of music podcasts, right, here in Chicago. You can search Two Guys, One Album on the WGN Radio site, so WGNRadio.com, and please contact us, twoguysonealbum@gmail.com. Let us know your albums. Let us know what you think about the podcast, how we can make it better. And just, you know what? If you like it, we'd love to hear from you. We'll always contact you back. And who knows? Maybe we'll give away a prize or two in the next few weeks.
Review us too. Subscribe. All that crap.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good way to end it.
Yeah.
This is Two Guys,
One Album.